normal to break. Are we there? It's okay. Look at Hebrews 6. So Paul is stating that circumcision is the proof that God made the everlasting covenant. God gives Abraham a commitment and states that the circumcision is the proof that he made such documents. Look at Hebrews 6. This is like my favorite verse. For the integrity, when you talk about the integrity of God's word, it's Hebrews 6. Look at verse 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by what? Look at something. He said, God made a promise. He wants to tell Abraham that me o paro say. He says God cannot swear by anything. He says he's greater. He says God swears by himself. Look at verse 14. Saying, surely blessing I will bless you.
Kai.
You know when he says surely, sure. You know, when we read Psalm 23, verse 6, you know, we just say, surely. You know, we've read it so much, it looks like a surely. Goodness and mercy. No, the word surely in the Greek means most assuredly. Surely, I am so sure. Hallelujah. So what is your guarantee that Tinubu is the president of Nigeria? You know, it's not the true or false. It's always a true statement.
Yeah.
So if God makes a statement to Abraham and says, surely I'll always bless you. I'll multiply you. Look at verse 15. And after he had patiently endured, he obtained the word.
Promise.
Verse 16. For men in this world by the greater, and both for confirmation is for them and end of all dispute. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the word, the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by and what?
Oath.
That by two immutable things. What's immutable things? He swore by himself. By two immutable things. The one that he swore by himself. The other one that he confirmed by an oath. Look at what he says in verse. In which it is impossible for God to what?
Lie.
To lie. So we don't have a lie God. Hallelujah. It's truthful. It's truthful. It is, see, when the Bible says it is impossible, impossible is what you say as God forbid, collision. So God makes a promise, God fulfills it. In spite and despite. So let's bring this home. God gives you a word. He says, I'm going to do this. There's no point in you being afraid, as he said, it is going to do it. Are we learning something? Now go back to Romans 4. Look at verse 23. Are we learning something now? Are we learning something?
Yes.
Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. He says for us. He says that promise is not only for Jews and Gentiles, also for everybody, for us. Have we learned something? Look at Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our what? In other words, we are blessed through our father Abraham. True or false?
True.
Can we read it like that? Yes, now. Because Paul describes the blessedness as righteousness in Romans chapter 4. Identification again. Romans chapter 6. I intentionally ran away from Romans 5:12. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. As many of us are baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. I want to learn something. He says, therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the word, newness of life. We're going back to Romans chapter 9. But let's go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans 10 and 11, Paul also writes about the Jews and the Gentiles. And let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? The what? Why did Paul use the word message of God? In Romans chapter 9, he has described the message of God as salvation. We're going to read that. I will have mercy on who I have mercy upon. I will show compassion on who I have compassion upon. Paul uses that statement in respect to how God saves the Jews and the Gentiles together. God chooses it like that. Paul is saying God could have chosen to just save the Jews alone. But because God is going to have mercy on who is going to have mercy upon, and because he's sovereign, he chose to save Jews and Gentiles alike. If God can harden the heart of Pharaoh, God can also save the Jews and Gentiles alike. Do you understand? The argument is not can God add in, can God not add in. The argument is that God chose by himself that the way he's going to save the Jews and the Gentiles together is through faith. Paul calls that the message of God. He said that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. The word bodies, we're going there very soon. Bodies, that means union. What union do we have? The Jews and the Gentiles in one body. Present that body. We're going to see why he's saying that. He says, which is the perfect will. Look at verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Are you there?
Yeah.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind and improve what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of what?
God.
What does Paul call the will of God? Look at Romans 4:17. This is a Bible quiz that me and them, bro. Manuel. Romans 4:17. I have made you a father of many nations. Is that the will of God? Are you there? In the presence of him who believes, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were. Romans 4:17. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believes. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were. Look at Romans 9:7. So God's will is to save both Jews and Gentiles alike. True or false? Okay. Romans 9:7. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 8. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the what? Look at verse 19. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? Who has resisted his will? Verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the what? Vessels of what? Mercy. Have you guys seen the mercy now?
Yes, sir.
Have you guys seen the mercy now, right? He said, which he had prepared beforehand for his glory. In verse 30, what then shall we say? That Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness of what? Faith. Look at Romans 10:11. This is the will of God. Whoever believes on him will not be what? Put to shame. So the Jews are not supposed to think that they are better than the Gentiles. The moment they do, they start conforming to the world. Because of course the Jews have the physical circumcision. They're rich folks. They have a lot of enticement. Paul says they have the covenant. They have the promises. Romans 9:4. They have the adoption of children. And that's what the world is saying. But Paul is saying, nope. In God's union, in God's ecclesiology, we are both one. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The will of God. Are you guys seeing it? Are you guys seeing it? Are you sure? Look at Romans 12 3. It now says, for I say, now, Romans 12 3 should now make sense to everybody now. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to think everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more. Does it make sense now? Who let the Jews think of himself more highly than the Greeks? Let the Greeks think that they have more advantage than the Jews, because the Jews also rejected God at some point. So Paul was telling them in Romans 11 that don't think that you're also better off. Because God rejected the Jews to choose you, does not mean you are better than them. Are you learning something? Look at verse 4. For we are all members in what? Verse 4. We are all members in what?
One body.
In what?
One body.
Now go to Genesis 15. 4. In one body. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your head, but the one that shall come from what? What else did does that tell you guys to use your own body. So the heirs will come from what? One body. We are all members from one body. That's what Paul is saying. Just like we all came out of Abraham in Christ, we are all members of one body. Are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
Are you learning something? Yes. Again, there's only one God. He's the God of the Jews, he's the God of the Gentiles, he's the God of the Nigerians, he's the God of the Jamaicans. So look at Romans 12, 9, which is like where Paul lays his foundation of chapter 13 to 14. Remember, we're answering the question of Romans 14, 10. Why did Paul make that statement? Well, in Romans 12, 9, he now says, let love be without what? Hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is what? Is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Does this statement make sense now? Mm-hmm. Does it make sense now?
Sure.
Be kindly affectionate. So when you come to church, in church, or in our local church, we are not all from the same background, educational background, financial background, but we are all together. You know why? Because we are from one body. So when you come to church, don't think you are better than another. That's why they can't be pride. That's why you can't be boast. I'm not telling anybody, as I not come to church, as I come to church, as they are preaching, they are trying to just, you know, when I was having this, there's nothing bad in saying it, in having meetings, but don't say it in a way because you want to criticize. You understand what I'm saying? And so they, probably are telling you this, you're not a worker, you're not the leader, and then I say, come and sit on this white chair, and I say, me? You know where I'm coming? 20 minutes does not do that. I'm just giving the example. Just say, me? You know where I'm from? I'm not sitting among these poor people? That's why Romans 12, 11 should be clear. The only reason why you stay fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, is because you see God's union. Because you don't see yourself better than another person. We're not saying have a low self-esteem, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, for the watch I'm able to use it. You see my issue? See the belt now? I'm even from OAU. I have a fine mama. That shouldn't be a basis. We're now together. Are we learning something?
Yeah.
Are we learning something? The reason why we're laying this foundation is because we're going to start learning about different kinds of sections. Modalism, adoptionism, sabellianism, different kind of trinitarianism. And there are people with different sects. But Paul is saying when we come together, we are what?
Yeah. We are one.
That's why there's no point. You know? The first question I asked in verse 2, no one knows the word. Don't do things like that. Switch the gospel, say, do you believe Jesus Christ died for us? And say, Pastor Sam, yes, I do. I believe he was raised from dead. I will speak in tongues. Yeah, you do. I mean, let me just drop something that, let me just break his table. You know the Greek word that was used in Genesis chapter 5? Hallelujah. It's a union. Are you guys learning something?
Yes, sir.
That's why you love. That's why you are compassionate. That's why you smile when you are in church. And you be frowning like the entire world is on your neck. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
That's how my face is. Hey. Rihanna. Some people, they actually frown as you go and meet them. Some sisters, they are scope. Their brother come and ask them, brother, what happened to you? There's nothing much. You know, brothers are caring. Sister, be eating. That's what sister wants here. I'm not really good at
that. I'll say sorry.
I'll say sorry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The reason why they ask back is because they know it. But as a brother, sometimes you have to be very wise, you understand? If you start taking every sister's cafeteria and I say, I'm not just stomach pain. And I say, oh, can we just put it together?
Yes.
Christ will heal you now. Yeah. Are we learning something?
Yeah.
Look at Romans 13:9. He says, for the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet.
And if there is any commandments, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. This is not a motivational speech. Amen. I don't think it's, you can love your neighbor more than yourself now. That's not what Jesus is saying. Look at Leviticus 19:34. As yourself is a statement of union. It's a statement of identification. Hallelujah. That is, I already know I'm in God's family. True or false? Why would I love you? Because I know I'm in God's family. I will love you because I'm in God's family too. So I will love you as I love myself because I know I'm in God's family. That's what I'm saying. But of course, it's not saying that you have 300 naira, you have not eaten. It's that person and says that, bro, say, I'm not eating. And say, I want to invest. You get the lens. How will you get? Investment. Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying you should be sacrificial. Do you understand what I'm saying? Of course you should. You should learn to give people things and resources. And even when it's not comfortable for you. But it's not saying, that's the meant people not saying, but the Bible does not say love your neighbor more than yourself. That's a statement of greed. Of course, amen. Look at 19:34. The stranger who dwells among you, can you see it now? Among you shall be to you as one born, what? Among you. Have you seen it now?
Yes.
Let the slaves, the strangers, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, therefore means that Paul is writing the basis of Romans 12, Romans 13, Hobbes Romans 14 is walking in love. So in your service to God's people, so you ask your favor, why are you an active worker? It's because I love people, because I love the Lord. One of the proof that you have stopped loving God's people is that you stop serving. Are you learning something? Yes. I said, I love the Lord. Oh yeah, what are you doing? You look at me. Well, I'm not doing anything. Are you praying? I'm not praying. What are you doing? I'm prophesying. Kai. The silence in your life is going to be deep. Are we learning something?
Yes. Yes.
So, look at Romans 14. They were not arguing because of food. Romans 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to dispute over that whole thing. For one believes in it, eat all things. But he who is weak eats only what? Vegetables. So, this statement is both for Jews and what? Gentiles. Are you learning something? Jews who believe that one day is a day for Sabbath. Because I'll go in there very soon. Some people believe the Lord's day is on that day. Some people believe the Lord's day is on Sunday. Do you know what people do? Of course, Jesus did not say have church on Sunday now. You know what I mean? I don't think.
Okay.
Of course, there were 6 days in a week. The seventh day was day of rest.
Yes.
And you are supposed to follow it thoroughly. Day of rest means you're supposed to lie down on your bed and not go anywhere. But when you go to church, don't you play keyboard? Are you resting? When you are rejoicing, are you resting? You wake up very early in the morning or so, you come back very late at night. Is that rest?
No.
Of course not. So, whether they are people who say go to church on Sunday, go to church on Sunday, eat vegetables, pay to don't pay to air, don't wear cargo jeans. Paul is saying they are all what?
All.
Are you learning something? This is going to serve as a foundation to start what Christology is. So when we start our study of Christ, it's true, I've not even started yet. We're going to be looking at. So when you are seeing all those differences, those distinctions, don't be quick to call them heretic. Are you listening to me? And just to shout at them and insult them. Paul is saying, look at verse 10. Verse 10 now makes sense to us now. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
One, two, go. He says, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all what?
Stand before judgment.
Do you understand? So whether it's Sunday, it's Saturday, it's eating meat, it's not eating meat, it's washing water, it's washing not washing water, washing clothes, not washing clothes, it's plating here, it's not plating here. Paul says, who is the one who gives the final verdict? Christ.
Again, we're going to look at what judgment seat of Christ is in this context.
And we'll watch later. Let's just leave it as rapture.
In the judgment seat, the demon.
Hallelujah. Who is the only one who could judge? See, who is the only one who? Yeah.
You have a question.
Yeah.
Although you've answered it, but okay. I don't want to ask. There are pastors in like other nations that make their aim. So I know other nations, but in Nigeria now, if you see a pastor that is making his aim, people embrace eyebrows and stuff. I recently saw a guy in church. Yeah, church. And he has this wonderful...
You're not right.
I'm listening. He has these wonderful locks. Mm. And it's nice.
So he has his locks too.
So imagine someone like...
He's in LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm listening.
So imagine people like us now. We decide to start making IR. Mm. What will you say about it?
It's what the judgment seat of Christ is going to say about it. Of course, when Paul is saying don't eat vegetables, don't have what people are saying one day, it's because of the culture they had. Of course, the Jews don't eat, what's it called now? They don't eat pork, they don't, because that's their culture. Of course, the Gentiles are going to sit and eat it, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, Paul is saying, when you guys come together, as much as there are distinctions in your culture, let no man see himself better than each other. So, it still boils down to what the culture of where the church is. Of course, we're in Nigeria. We don't have such cultures. So if you do it, Paul says, might not necessarily be, anyways, whoever listens is his best. Might not necessarily, you're starting again. Or this 21 hours.
Stop that one.
Okay, just let me send everything together.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that you are committing sin. But Paul says that what you are doing can injure the conscience of another. And defile the conscience of another. So, of course, if you are abroad where they have such cultures and stuff, of course, there's Todd White who uses, he has been on dreads for many years now. I don't know if you know Todd White, he's a healing minister. He's been on dreads for many years now. There are pastors who cut punk and styles. There are pastors who cut everything.
Skin.
So it boils down to your culture. Do you understand? Of course, you know, if you start placing here, in the country, the question is why? You understand? Because, of course, I'm going to be preaching to unbelievers. So, of course, the question is that, do you understand? You're preaching to unbelievers. Would you also want your congregation members to also do the same if you were to be a pastor here? Those are just culture. Of course, if you listen to Pastor Christopher Clement, you want to palm your hair. You want to wear white. If you listen to Daji Oyedepo, you love white. Just pure white. If you have your church, it's white you're going to be wearing. If you listen to Daji Gio, of course you should. Then it's low cut. I don't think it's ever cut
skin.
It's always low cut. And the look is not even too low.
Not too low.
It's still very. Has it ever been too low before?
No.
I don't think I've ever seen it. It's always.
People that have been fed, they've been
fed. Exactly. So, of course, you want to do that. So that's the question you might need to. That's the question you might need to ask yourself. Would you want those people to also want to replicate them? Because man is truly a product of what? Of influence. Do you understand? So, the question of why you. I'm not saying chain is bad, or hearings or stuff, but again, your culture again determines a lot. Do you understand? When you want to disciple people, train people, do you want them to do the same? Also, can your culture accommodate that? But of course, if they come into your local assembly where you are the pastor, you don't have a right, except the worker that can now mandate them, but you don't have the right to now walk them out. That's what I'm saying. People come to your church with dreads, they're not the worker, they're not in the workforce. But they don't have a reason why they are keeping their dress. Some people keep their dress because there are health reasons behind it. I don't know. But people have reasons why they keep it. So if they can establish that with you, of course, why not? If not. But if you are first timers, now say you're not looking at them, and some people not start tailoring their message towards it. Somebody comes to your local assembly, the person is a gay. And he comes with his gay partner. To church, what are you going to do? What's going to be your honest response?
God,
still promises.
He was sent on an errand. So, what will you do?
And they are both together, you know. And let's not say your church is like a church where you say we boast in Christ Jesus, we boast in confidence in first celebration church. That's just an example. Imagine your church like that, and you gay partner.
We boast in Christ Jesus.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
So
what
Praise the Lord. So, Galatians 3:8. It says, and the scripture for saying that God rules. You continue it, David.
No, I do not stop this.
It says that God would what? God will justify the Gentiles by faith. He preached the gospel to whom?
Abraham.
Before, and saying in what? In you.
In you.
All the what?
Nations.
But why did Paul say that God preached the gospel to Abraham? How was Paul able to see Christ in that? You know, just finish reading the Jewish, all the nations of the empty place. How did Paul know that what God was telling Abraham was the gospel? How did he know that it was about Christ? Again, Paul goes to Genesis and does what is called Christology. True or false? True or false? He goes to Genesis and says that it's Genesis about Christ. He goes to Genesis and says, from that text about it. She coming?
No.
She's not coming?
No.
I'm typing it wrong. It's about Christ. So, now, how was Paul able to unite?
It's a lack of faith.
Oh, we